great future.
We're talking real money.
Oh my gosh, I hate them so much, and yet they're so big a part of life. Almost everything I do, probably you do, certainly I do because I'm a tech person. Almost everything I do now involves a subscription, a recurring monthly payment. The thing that I record these podcasts on and the software I use to create the artwork all comes from Adobe at $90 a month for the rest of my natural life. I pay for streaming services. I pay for things I don't even know what they are, and I try to cancel them, but I don't know what they are.
It's a bit shocking. Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's the recurring payment problem that we have in America right now, and it is really, it's become a problem. It's not just an annoyance anymore.
The thing is, it's gotten bigger. It was even around prior to the internet, right? Where you had a regular subscription to things.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's gained momentum. The numbers are kind of staggering. Subscription businesses saw revenue grow more than 300% between 2012 and 2018, five times the overall pace of companies in the S&P 500. In other words, five times faster than all the rest of the business. It's creating hundreds of billions of dollars. And here's the part that you as a consumer should pay attention to. Americans have long, and this is from the Wall Street Journal, long underestimated their monthly subscription spending. As of 2021, 100% of respondents were unaware of what they actually spent on subscriptions, with consumers, I love this, actually spending 3.5 times more what they get than what they guessed. 3.5 times more.
I bet that's the case with me.
They probably, and it just,
I have so many of them. I've forgotten about them.
I think this all came up recently for me when I got the big charge from Ancestry, and I was like, why? If I cancel Ancestry, I don't cancel my relatives, do I?
No, you do. You do. You pretty much gone? You're off the family tree. It's really not. It's not your relatives. It just cuts you off.
And so I went in and fixed that one, but it says 70% of consumers continued paying for unwanted subscriptions because they forgot to cancel the service before it's renewed, or
they make it so difficult to cancel. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, I subscribed to the Denver Post for a while because I wanted to follow the god-awful football team that I follow from that city. I am still paying them and I can't get them to stop. They will not let you cancel online, and you can never get hold of somebody.
So the whole idea is it's easy to sign up.
It's
hard to cancel.
Not just hard. It's if you have to speak with a real human being to cancel, in some cases it becomes impossible, because what's the one thing that companies don't do anymore?
Have real people to talk to.
Answer the phone.
Yeah, there's nobody answering the phone. So again, this is a real problem. And here's a suggestion.
I have a couple. Well, go ahead.
Well, here's one. It's the end of the year. So you know what I did after the Ancestry thing? I sat down, started making a list of all the subscriptions. I have Paramount Plus. I have Apple Plus. I have the Wall Street Journal. I have Bloomberg Magazine. I started making a list. And I'm already through about 24 of them already. Now,
before I suggest my possible solutions, there are some. I have got to give big kudos to Apple, because if you subscribe to things through Apple, all you have to do is go under settings and go to your name at the very top of the screen under settings.
This is on my phone?
On your phone.
Okay.
And then you go down just 4 lines. It says subscriptions. And what this does is it brings up a list of all the things you have subscribed to through Apple. And when you push the button, it says cancel subscription.
And it actually shows the price. I'm paying. You want to know what I'm paying for Disney Plus right now? Which I never watch, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess.
You're getting the Disney Plus ESPN Hulu package.
I don't know.
You're probably paying $50.
$109.99 a year for Disney Plus.
Okay, wait. You're getting who? Wait a minute. Somebody signs you up for Disney Plus. A year. That's very fair.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's very fair. Because I pay just for the Washington Post, for example. $8 a month.
Yeah. Okay. $100 a year right there. So,
and I don't even know what this is. I just found a subscription I have
I really
for $24 a month, and I don't know what the heck that is.
I'm only paying, no, I'm paying Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus.
Oh,
that's $6.99 a month. So
I
never watch
some
it.
Of these are my daughter's.
Yeah, big surprise there. So, okay, again, number one is to go. I think this is a great time of year to do this. Make a list of all the ones you got. And Don
check
just
it twice,
helped you
too.
Out. This is,
check it twice.
Find out who is naughty and nice. You just helped a lot by making, you helped me because I found another two here I didn't even know about. Tune In Radio.
See? Yeah, bet you never use it.
It's
Tune, but no, remember there's Tune In, which is free, and then there's Tune In Premium.
Yeah, I use Tune In Premium because I always want to be able to hear the show if I'm not there. But anyway, that's a whole
But you can hear it with Tune In Free.
Okay. But I don't know. So anyway, you're right. I shouldn't pay for that. Here's another one. Cuz you already mentioned this. And I know this is painful, but when you subscribe to these things, you have to have a place, and you can do it electronically, where you store the logins and passwords.
There
because
are,
I see a lot of people that have told me, well, I want to cancel, but I can't figure out the, et cetera.
I use an app called 1Password and Apple. I use Apple too, because Apple in my Mac OS, and it works with all of them. They store the password. So as long as somebody knows the password to my computer or my iPad, they can, if I'm dead, they can go in and find all of my logins, logins. So that's pretty easy. Now there are some, and this is from bankrate.com. There are some tools that will help you go out and find them.
Go out and find,
recurring subscriptions that you don't even know about. They use artificial intelligence to scan the web and look for stuff that you might be paying for. And they can even help you lower bills on things that, you know, like your cable bill or your phone bill. It's called AskTrim, ASKTRIM.com. If you are a Chase customer,
I am.
Chase has a thing called Chase Account Manager, and it goes in and finds all the recurring charges on your card and helps you identify them on your Chase cards. There's another one called Hiatus, and it looks for all the accounts you have. Then there's Eno, which Capital One created.
Okay, how many of these do you need? Now you're signing me up for more subscriptions to find out
these
about
are
the
all
subscriptions.
Free. These are all free.
Okay.
These are free. Truebill and Do Not Pay. So
Do Not Pay. That's
Do
a great
Not Pay.
Brand.
They call themselves the world's first robot lawyer.
That's even better.
They'll help you appeal parking tickets even.
This is no legal Zoom, but it'll help. Okay.
And they'll cancel any subscription that is weighing you down. Ooh, Denver Post. Oh, let's go take care of that. I'm going to sign
up
right now.
Okay, I want to add one more thing to this discussion.
All right.
Because I get the pushback I get here at home, of course, when I say, let's get rid of that. Mm-hmm. No, I watched this 6 months ago, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Wait. There's a way to do this.
Yeah?
I've got it.
Just do it, not tell them?
Again, no. You need to be on the Apple TV. Be on the Apple TV.
I don't even know how to do that anymore, but okay.
Most of these apps, with the exception of Netflix, most of them have an agreement with Apple, and they show up under the Apple TV app.
Ah, okay.
So they're all in a list there, and it shows you which ones you're subscribed to, just like on looking on your phone.
Sure.
So let's say you want to watch a British show. Like, you want to watch Shetland on the BBC.
Poldark.
Poldark's on PBS. You want to watch Shetland, which is on the BBC, which is on the BritBox app. You subscribe for 1 month, and then you binge all those shows.
And then you dump
and
it.
And you turn the subscription off.
Oh, they hate you. Okay.
I don't care.
That's not where I was headed.
But it's so easy to turn off in Apple. It's so easy to turn them on and off.
I want to, but the thing I was getting to was with my contingent.
Oh, your family itself?
My faithful. Yeah. What did I tell them?
Yeah.
I told them, and this, I don't think this, you don't hear this expression anymore. Small leaks sink big ships. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was a World War II thing.
Is that why you don't hear it? World War II has been over for 80 years. That's maybe why. All right. At any rate.
It was loose lips sink ships.
That's a different one.
But it's similar.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's talking. I'm talking about little pricks in your boat.
What is it? Pennywise, pound foolish?
Yeah, no, that, yeah, okay. No, that anyway, that doesn't work. No, so the point of the matter is, yeah, these things all, they add up. What I'm going to do is when I'm done getting all these, I'm going to say, here's the bill. If you want to keep them, you pay for them.
Then just use your money.
It's not going to be helpful is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not going to be helpful. I'm just going to be mad. Who makes most of the money in the family? They're going to use your credit card to pay for it. Dad, can I borrow your credit card for a minute? Sure, honey.
Listen, I hope you're listening, and this is an exercise that you should do. By the way, it's an exercise that we've talked about doing before with auto insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your phone plan. These are things you should be looking at on a fairly regular basis to see. I did it with my homeowner's policy.
By the way, Verizon, I'm going to be calling you soon because I'm not happy with T-Mobile. So, and
speaking of homeowner's policy, I guess in Florida, you can't even get one anymore, right?
No, our legislature is literally in session, I think, as we're speaking.
Yeah, they're going to try to
as we're recording this to try to keep
make
these
sure
things.
Some of these smaller providers can continue to write the insurance. No.
Oh, you want another little money story that's very interesting? This just off the cuff, since you mentioned the insurance thing. I live in a very nice little town, not really a town, an unincorporated area that thinks it's a town.
Berg.
It's a nothing. It's part of the county, but we think we're a town. And it's a nice place. There's a roofing company that for several years came through town telling people they could get them a free roof on their house.
Using
the assignment of benefits, which is something that Florida is trying to eliminate, which the homeowner then says, here, I'm just going to sign over my insurance benefits for this job to you. You fight with the insurance
company.
You
go at them. You figure it out.
You go, well, these guys have hired lawyers, and they know the law, and they know that if you play the game, you win. And let me tell you, it was not just assignment of benefits. It was outright insurance fraud.
And they got away with it for a period of time.
They're still getting away with it because there's nobody to prosecute them. There's nobody looking over their shoulder. These guys would go house to house and they go, oh, yeah, you had some hail damage.
Look at that. Yeah.
Remember that hail storm in June? Oh. And I'm going, there was no hail storm in June. Oh, the windstorm. No, that was a hurricane.
That's Oklahoma where the wind comes whipping down the plains. That was a
hurricane. What they're very careful. They say wind damage from a storm. If you say hurricane, then that's under the hurricane deductible. But there's so much. People are always conning somebody, and that's one of the big themes of this show, is that everybody's out there to rip you off,
and
either a lot or a little.
I will say it. I think a lot of these subscriptions are a ripoff because it's automatic renewal.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get out of, and there's no place to really go. There isn't, other than you just mentioned your phone, which I think is smart, or one of these other places. There's no place to get an easy way to clean this up, to get rid of all these things. You're stuck. You're on the merry-go-round. They're going to keep taking your money for a long period of time.
There needs to be a requirement that everyone on a subscription plan, at least a month prior to renewal, gets notifications, plural.
Yeah.
Like a month prior, 3 weeks prior, 10 days prior, 1 day prior, it's about to renew. I don't get them on maybe anything but a handful. Notify me.
And you've got a lot. Okay. Fair enough. Gosh, you ready for another question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This one comes from Andrea.
Andrea.
Yeah. She says, Don and Tom, Andrea here. Thank you both for continuing to invest your time to help everyone improve their financial literacy and hopefully their financial health through your podcast. You're both appreciated.
She likes us.
This, to make a long story short, I'm being pitched an investment product by a non-fiduciary firm with whom I have no money invested and no plans to do so in the future. The product is the bank-funded life insurance that's being invested in the U.S. Paysetter Index by Société Générale. I guess after France is going to win the World Cup, then they can do this. They plan an initial investment of $250,000 over 5 years, age 40 to 45, producing $200,000 per year after 20 years, starting at 65, including an initial bank loan of $400,000 to $500,000. Because it's life insurance, the annual income would be tax-free. I'm not looking to invest a dime with them, but I just want to gain more knowledge about the product they're trying to sell. Can you help me break down exactly what is bank-funded life insurance?
Bank-owned life insurance is something that was generally, in the past, purchased only for some companies would
for their employees,
for key employees, yeah, big right. shots.
Yep.
There's some serious regulation. It's not available to individual investors, which is really kind of curious as to how you would get it.
But she says it's being pitched by U.S. Pacesetter Index as part of Societe Generale, which I think is a French firm.
Yeah. There are a number of problems. One, the income from life insurance isn't tax-free. It's not. This is a big lie. You can borrow from a life insurance policy without paying taxes, but you can't. It's not tax-free. So I think there's a lot of smoke here. I don't know what U.S. Pacesetter Index has to do with it. U.S. Pacesetter Index is a strategy for creating synthetic baskets of stocks. It's like an index that somebody else made up based on. It's like DFA or Avantis, where they're not really indexes. They're rules-based portfolios. That's what U.S. Pacesetter is. So I am totally confused about all of this.
Well, now I'm confused, too, because I just went and read Forbes. Forbes says there is no inheritance tax on life insurance. Life insurance death benefits are paid tax-free.
No, that's true, but you got to die.
Okay, well, isn't that what life insurance is?
No, but she was talking about this as a way to make income.
Okay, good point. Thank you.
You cannot generate income at 65 off a life insurance policy unless you're borrowing against the policy.
And therefore, it would be a tax.
And in this case, yeah. I can't tell you what they're doing from what I knew, these bank-owned life insurance policies.
Yeah.
Are not available to the public.
And it does seem like an inside job, doesn't it? Because generally it is an inside job. So,
yeah. Okay. So I'd have to see all the details, but I think you are very wise to avoid it because it sounds like I have one of my rules of financial physics is the confusion to risk ratio. It's one of the formulas that will tell you whether it's a potentially decent investment or not. And I have found, again, this is a theory of physics, but I have found in my theory that generally the higher the level of confusion, the higher the risk and or the higher the costs.
Yeah, I think less transparency. Yeah, I think that's true. Very true.
So that's one of the rules of financial physics. That's why I called the book that. Available at Amazon for your holiday giving pleasure.
And we're going to do something with it for Retire Me, too. I don't
print on demand.
Something. So thank you for your question. Great one. And happy holidays to you as well.
And if you want honest fiduciary help and you just want to do everything else yourself, you just want a little help, I know a place where you can get it.
I know a place.
And it's not like going to the guy who pitches indexed annuities at the steak dinner where you know you're going to get a sales pitch. You won't get one of those because our firm, Appella Wealth, we'll provide you with some help for free.
Yeah.
No obligation, no sales pitch.
Great call today from someone. We're going to look at their portfolio, make sure they're properly positioned, and make some recommendations.
And that's all we're going to do.
That's it.
I mean, they're not going to get a bill.
Nope.
Did you talk to them?
I did. Very nice people.
Did you pitch them anything?
No.
Did you tell them they should become clients or that you won't get it? Really?
Nope.
You didn't do any of that? You had this golden opportunity to upsell somebody and you didn't do it?
I know.
What kind of salesman are you?
I'm bad at my job. That's what you've known that for years.
You are a terrible salesman.
I'm sorry.
No, and that's exactly what we are. We are terrible salespeople. And that's exactly what you want in financial advice.
That's actually true. Yeah, because like Ken Fisher, those people are awesome. Like other people, they're good.
As a matter of fact, if they're nice, you don't want them either. You want mean people like us. Be mean.
I'm kidding. You're veering off the path here. Yeah.
Well, because everybody says, well, my advisor was so nice.
My guy at Ed Jones is so nice.
Morgan Stanley broker. So nice. Oh, financial advisor. Nobody's a broker anymore.
No, it's all financial advisor. By the way, you can get that help by going to talkingrealmoney.com. Ask an advisor, right?
Meet an advisor.
I don't know why I can't get that. I got to write that. I got to get that tattooed. Meet an advisor or, yes, the telephone. We do actually answer it here. 800-386-3004. Don't call late. I go to bed early.
Well, they only send the calls to you if it's business hours, right?
I've gotten them at 6 o'clock at night before.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I've taken them. Yeah.
All right. Yep. We got
to
go.
Sitting around watching a bad Christmas movie with my wife. I'm happy to jump on a call.
You're not. You're not watching those Hallmark things
so far, by the way. I'm looking around for. So far, managed to escape Annie, so we're doing pretty well. And I'm only like a week before Christmas.
I cannot do them.
Sorry.
They're so bad. All right. Thank you all. Thanks for being there. Take care of yourselves. I'm Don. Tom's over there talking real money.
You realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That's a wrap.